Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hello, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, coming to you live on Sunday at the NAMM Show here in Anaheim, California, with our wonderful friends on Facebook at EnterTalk Radio. And we're also recording for our podcast, Talking Up Music Education. This is the last live podcast episode that I've been doing here at the NAMM Show. It's been a bit of a marathon, but what a magnificent way to end. We are here with the Peter Luongo ukulele experience.
Oh, you're getting that ukulele thing.
I said the ukulele
thing.
Give me five. Yes,
nice
I did
job,
it, right.
Man.
But we have 16 remarkable adult ukulele performers here, musicians, some of them lifelong music makers. Many of them starting ukulele. I'm really getting
you're
good
you're
at
cooking
this.
Up. They're
right.
going to be calling you Hawaiian
I'm about ready to go on that trip
I
to
like
Hawaii
it. I
with
I like
you.
It. Yep.
But many of them have started later in life or within the last decade. So I think the best way, Peter, is to kick us off. We've got to hear some music right away.
I'm going
What
right
are we going to hear?
You're going to hear Glenn Miller's In the Mood.
Like we've never heard it before.
Because if Glenn Miller had only known about the ukulele.
The Peter Luongo ukulele experience.
One, two, three, and.
Thank you. Reed, thank you so much. That was incredible. Peter's finding his way back here. You know, the thing is, we just came from having an hour together over at our NAMM show in the convention center. And what we didn't talk about is you guys sing so well. I mean, that's like harmony going on there.
Yeah. It's kind of neat. They're learning about jazz chords. They're learning about singing in tune. They're learning about blending pitch. It's really cool, actually. You know, and one of the really neat things about the instrument is, of course, when you're playing it, you don't have anything in your mouth except your tongue.
Right.
So well, there's some teeth in there, too.
Right.
For most of us. So the idea is that you then have a chance to use the voice. And quite frankly, Mary, and, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but these guys now understand that they're playing a chord. And in the case of one of the chords that you heard, the jazz chord in there, it's a 6 chord. They understand what that means. So they can actually sing it and understand that the note within the chord is the note they're singing.
Yeah.
And even taking the harmony chord. Well, they're singing Got to Do Some Dancing to Get in the Mood. They're actually taking the harmonies right off those 4 strings.
Yeah.
If it harmonizes on the ukulele, it's going to harmonize in their voices.
Right.
So now I don't need to score out their music. They don't need to have it in front of them. It's in their fingers.
Right.
And so they've now got the ability to literally create a vocal harmony from what's on their instrument.
Yeah.
As soon as they've had a chance to learn that, then I get it. Who's singing? You know, we'll often do that. Who's singing the third in the chord?
Mm-hmm.
They can identify it. They can talk about because the third is an important note of the chord. Whoever's got that's going to help tune the chord. And now they know they've got a little extra responsibility.
Own the chord. Own the note of the chord.
Right?
Yeah, that's great. So we talked earlier, the average age of this group is a 50-ish,
yeah, it's about 50,
right?
Yeah.
Their point of entry into making music making happened early in life. We learned it in school, like for many.
Some of them, you know, in fact, if I surveyed them, how many of you had music as part of your childhood? How many did not?
About half. Yeah, about half and half.
Right? Yeah. And some, this is their only entry into music. And I'd say probably a good 5 of them out of 16, that's a third of them, mm-hmm. didn't have any other music until they discovered the ukulele. And now they're getting a total music education at their age after 50.
Because learning is limitless in terms of when we start. Music is a natural threshold experience. I mean, I would have a tough time. I play a little bit of paddle tennis, but it's not pretty, you know? I mean, I do it just for fun to be outside.
Yeah.
But, you know, the beauty of making music at any age is that you can start, and we talked about threshold of entry. The ukulele has a very reasonable, happy place to feel. It feels happy to start, right? And that yet we're experiencing with all of you, you just want to go, next, more, next, more. And then through your remarkable background experience with the Langley method and creating these ensembles, and I talked earlier that there's something very special in the water in Canada with the tradition. Why don't you just give us a quick overview for our listeners about what happened with the ukulele in the 60s?
It was Jay Chalmers Doan out of Halifax, Nova Scotia, who saw, and actually he took his instruction from the Boston area, from his mentor, and recognized that the instrument had the potential to be so much more than just a strumming. You know, George Formby was doing some amazing things with the instrument. But if you go beyond that, there is music right here within these 4 strings and this sound hole and the sound box that allows any learner to gather together all the components of music, from beat to rhythm to melody to harmony to all the understanding of how it all fits together. And so rather than taking the instrument and just humming and strumming with it, what he literally did was he said, I think we can devise an education method around notation, reading notation, utilizing the ear, utilizing chords with harmony. He developed that and started sharing it across Canada. In late 1970s, I came out of teacher's college, had taken ukulele as part of my university education as a teaching tool, and literally adopted it in the school that I went into to teach music. And over my career of 34 years, I can tell you literally tens of thousands of kids.
Tens of thousands, yeah.
Right? And in the Langley School District, every kid, with the exception of a few schools, but every school in our division in grades 4, 5, and 6, that's 9, 10, 11-year-olds, were handed ukuleles as their precursor to being able to play in a band, in the band, school band, or to choir, or for that matter, if that was nothing they were going to, I can't tell you how many students have come back and said, yeah, Mr. Luongo, I got my own band now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Do you have ukuleles in it? Oh, no, guitars.
What?
But but what they literally did was they said, I get it. All the components
are
here.
You gave them the gift of some knowing the basic elements,
exactly.
Knowing the structure of music, yeah. Knowing the, you know, we call it music literacy, which
yes.
Is like it's hard for some, you know, well, that's not literacy. Yes, it is. You're
yep.
Learning a language, a code, a methodology. And then, of course, we've some of your great outputs, like James Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Who's been at the NAMM show numerous times.
Yes.
Who's been a guest here. My favorite thing with James Hill is that when he plays all that, you know, cranked up ukulele stuff and he needs to do something with his feet, we have to call the caterers and they bring us one of the big trays.
Yes.
He turns the big tray over and he stands yep. On it. He's got a, you know, acoustic beatbox going. I said, you know, that's an ukulele player for you. You know, nothing, there's no limits.
You know, one of the neatest things, James was a star pupil for sure. And one of the greatest aspects of having a learner in your group who's got that sense of creativity, he then motivated other people in the group to be better. You just heard us play In the Mood. The first two kids that ever could do that lick at the beginning were James Hill and a kid named Russell sitting next to him. Those two, they were like this. They came, Mr. Luongo, we figured out the intro to In the Mood. Oh, let's hear it. Okay, you guys, you do it. Well, that was, call it 30 years ago, okay? 30
years
ago.
And now it's a ubiquitous lick. All of you ladies are playing it up there, right?
We've got kids at 10 years of age in Langley doing that lick, not realizing the origin of it was James and his buddy Russell figuring it out.
And it worked, and it was right, and it fit in the hole. So we want to hear, I mean, you know, we could be talking, but what we really want to hear is the music. But before we do, we're going to hear two pieces in a row and then wrap this up. How do people get involved? How do adult learners get involved in ukulele? Give us some resources. You're available online.
Yep.
This group meets in Reno, Nevada, but they live all across the U.S.
Yep.
And they're traveling to ukulele festivals and whatnot.
Yes.
But, you know, the moment of inspiration here is great, but what do I do tomorrow? What do I do Monday?
Okay.
Right? If I really want to get this in my life.
So I'm going to give three hints here. The first is, I don't think there's a community anywhere in the world, maybe in some third world countries, that won't have a ukulele circle in it, okay? I'm being as blunt as I can be. There's an ukulele circle in literally every community.
So number one, no excuses.
Right.
You can find
a group of people that will play,
right,
okay?
Right.
Number two, there are festivals, again, all over the world. I'm teaching at a festival in Huddersfield, England in May, then over in Graz, Austria. I know there's a festival in Italy. I know there are festivals right throughout the United States. The Reno Festival is coming in May. There are festivals right across
the
country.
And where those festivals are happening as community events, there's going to be vendors, providers.
Correct.
There's going to be program providers. There's going to be music schools that have a program. They're going to be advertising. They're
Correct.
Going to be presenting. So it ends up, like the NAMM show, it ends up being a nexus of come and get the information and run with it.
And if somebody's interested in what we're doing, you can check out what I've got as a program at maxuke.com.
M-A-X-U-K.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
UKE.com. Mm-hmm. It's got some videos on there that show you the kinds of things that are introductory to it. Certainly, you can get in contact with me from there through ukeman1@telus.net.
Right.
But ultimately, what people have a chance to do is to access the instrument. I know there are online videos that you can see. I also know that there are all sorts of videos online that you can learn from. I don't find those as beneficial as actually working with a person. I think there's something organic about the ability to ask a question, having an answer. And I really do believe this. People, just like you playing your form of tennis, you can take this as far as you want it. If what you want is to play and sing, then that's great. Join a uke circle and just do that. If you want to use it as a way to learn music education, then source out either in your community or checking maxuke.com ways that you can be part of something that pushes the music literacy aspect so that you have a chance, no matter what your age, to become a musician. And I think that's great.
And the benefits and joys of doing that are kind of limitless.
Amen.
And we heard such wonderful words this morning about this community of musicians that are together and how you really are caring for each other via various stages of your lives. And you know, challenges of your lives. And, you know, music's important, but you want something that is vital.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got two things happening at the same time.
Yeah.
So we're just thrilled that you're at the NAMM show. What a perfect way for me after a pretty long marathon here to end it with all of you. So you've given me a great gift. And Peter, that you've ended your formal music teaching career by really now, you have a whole new chapter ahead of you.
I do.
Right?
I'm loving it.
And this is just great. And that's also the beauty. So we're going to wrap up with just music. Wrap up talking at music education. What are we going to hear from this great ensemble?
Again, to show the versatility of the instrument, we're going to do a classical piece by Bach. It's Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. The notes are going to be picked out, and you're going to hear some different parts being played, some harmonies. Once we're done that, we're going to employ a flat pick, and you're going to hear a tremolo effect and a very rhythmic sound come out as we do Rossini's William Tell Overture.
So we're going right deep into the classics here.
We are.
A little Bach and a little Rossini.
I like it.
All right, so take it away.
Thank you.
So while Peter's moving over, I'm going to give you our formal sign-off here from the NAMM show. Thank you so much for those of you who have joined us for our wonderful music making and music inspiration that we've experienced here via our great friends on Facebook, EnterTalk Radio, and of course our podcast, Talking at Music Education. Please enjoy our wonderful ukulele ensemble. Bravo. On behalf of all of our listeners on Intertalk Radio and all of our Talking at Music Education podcast community, thank you for giving that remarkable gift of music. And thank you all for joining us. You know, there's something right when your technicians are all smiling. And all the wonderful people that have helped us here at the NAMM Show, our photographers, all our technical people, we're so grateful to our friends in the room for all of your help in making our ability to communicate the joys and benefits of making music and all that you're doing for music every day. So thank you, everyone. Thanks for joining us here at the NAMM Show, to Peter Luongo and the Ukulele Experience, and thank you for being part of Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.